If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 20. Dr. Bob Sr. used to say, reputation is what people think you are. Character is what you really are. The book of Proverbs talks much about character to us. King Solomon, when he gathered this collection of pithy sayings up, wrote most of them. There are over 3,000 Proverbs in the book. He wrote also 1,005 Psalms. The word proverb in the Hebrew means to be like something. And so Proverbs, as they're collected up by wise King Solomon and held for us, have a reality of what life should look like for the person that walks with God. So we want to look at the personality profiles today. Are really the character traits of individuals, those who walk with God and those who do not walk with God. Follow with me as I read the first 7 verses of Proverbs chapter 20. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as a roaring of a lion, who provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. It's an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore he shall beg and harvest and have nothing. And counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. As we look at this first verse, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, talks about the wants of loose people. Now, what does that mean? People who want no restrictions or no rules, who want to walk a life of absolute uncontrolled looseness are people who are easily deceived. They're deceived about alcohol in this particular verse. The Bible has so much to say about strong drink. And frankly, it's negative. Then why is it that some Christians say, well, it's all right, a little won't hurt you, or it's all right to drink as long as you control it in your life? Well, many men are destroyed by strong drink. Proverbs 21:17, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, but he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. We're told in Proverbs 23:31-32, look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. This is talking about fermented wine or fermented with alcohol. Alcohol created by a process of fermentation. How many people have been destroyed by it? It's a little bit overwhelming. It's very hard to believe. I read a story recently about Alexander the Great, who conquered the world before he was 33. But he died at 33 years old. And one of the contributing factors was his inability to conquer alcohol. He could conquer the world, but he couldn't conquer alcohol. He couldn't control his desire to drink. The story's told that he was at a celebration for the Greek god Hercules, and he drank a large bowl of wine. History called it unmixed wine or strong wine. He went into a drunken stupor. He became ill. He lived for 10 days after that. And he died. Here's a guy before he's 33 that militarily was able to conquer most of the known world, and he couldn't conquer his own desires for alcoholic beverages. How many are deceived in this nation? Well, there are approximately 11 million alcoholics, and 76 million Americans have alcoholics in their families. 76 million Americans have alcoholics in their families. Don't worry too much about it. Our government has declared it a disease. Now, if it is a disease, why does the government allow companies to produce the cause of this disease? Those who produce it spend enormous amounts of money getting people to buy the product, and if this is a disease, it creates the disease. Lobbyists constantly fight against what they call the sin tax. You should not put an extra tax on cigarettes and alcohol and things like that. What stupidity. What's the matter with us to think like that? According to one official statement, beer brewers spend $20 million a year to market their products across the campuses of America. $20 million a year in advertising just to college campuses, because this is where they get them addicted. This is where they get you started to continue to buy their product. The scripture says that alcohol produces poverty, sorrow, strife, gossip, and is addictive. Well, if it is, and all those things are true, and I believe the scripture is true, why would a Christian ever fight for just a little of it? Why would a Christian see anything good about it? What an incredible folly for any of us who love the Lord to take the first drink. Verse 3 is an interesting verse too. It's an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. This is the walk of the little people. This is people who themselves are always trying to tear other people down to make themselves look bigger. They interfere with the rights and properties of others. They're obstinate. That means they're meddling. They're always getting into your business. These are the people that can tell you on Monday morning why your team lost on Sunday and what they should have done differently. You've come in contact with these kind of people. They're people who are obstinate. They won't change their mind. They're people who think they know the truth. They're argumentative for their positions. They won't listen to reason. Often they won't listen to the scripture. Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and this without remedy. These people are overbearing. They don't really know the difference between convictions and preferences, and that's something we have to learn. The only place we can learn it is from the Word of God and the power of God. Leviticus 19:16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Here again, this is talking about little people who gossip. All they want to do is talk about what someone else is doing, what is happening. What a great fire the tongue, which is a little member, can kindle. Scripture talks much about this in James chapter 3. And we need to study that chapter. We need to understand that some of the things that people do to create the sense of superiority are really motivated by inferiority in that person, the inability to cope with life. Verse 4 is another good verse. The sluggard will not plow by reason of cold, therefore he shall beg and harvest and have nothing. This is the way of the lazy people. The lazy people always make excuses by reason of, here's why I didn't do that I should have done. Here's why this happened to me. I think of Saul. When God sent him to put to death the Amalekites and not bring anything back, and he brought back all the herds because these are very valuable assets. And when the prophet challenged him about that and said, what meaneth this bleating the sheep I hear? Immediately Saul said, the people caused me to do this. They wanted to bring them back for a sacrifice. If you start through the Bible, you're going to see so many excuses. Adam and Eve started it in the very beginning of the scripture. Adam said, Lord, this woman you gave me, she created this problem. And Eve said, no, this being that is here created this problem. In Exodus, Moses says, I can't go for you, Lord. I can't lead your people out of Egypt because I'm slow of speech. He offered an excuse to the Lord for not taking on one of the greatest missions in all of Scripture. And God said, I'll send Joshua with you. I'll take care of your problem. But you're just making an excuse. Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgeth. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. That thou judgest those that thou judgest, you do the same things. How often I've seen this. What we can be critical of in others, we're not critical of in ourselves. We can excuse what we do that's wrong, but they can't excuse what they do that we see as wrong. This book is teaching us how to live as a Christian and how to get along. The book is teaching us how to honor God. These people are not only people of constant excuses, they're people of emptiness. The scripture says they beg and have nothing. What does that mean? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, and so shall thy poverty come. Lazy people, they're rarely successful people. Their poverty, their poorness sneaks up on them. And they've always got an excuse. They've always got a reason. My young friends, we live in a country where the government has taken upon itself to take care of the excuses of those that don't have enough by giving them money. And even now, at the time that an election's coming up, the president says, we just have to take from the wealthy and give to the poor. Well, all the poor are not lazy. There are some that have circumstances which they can't control. But primarily, the Robin Hood approach of robbing for the rich to give to the poor is really wrong. So you can't be lazy. Well, what does that mean to you? That means studying for the exam before the exam. That means keeping up with the rules and regulations and restrictions. That means living a life of no excuses but fulfillment. But there's some good news in this passage. Verse 5 is the wisdom of learned people. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. People who have learned how to walk with God have the ability to discern, to understand. The Hebrew word understanding in the Old Testament generally means the ability to prioritize things in life. That's wisdom and understanding. Think about that for just a minute. If we had the ability to put things in their proper order in our lives, we would be men of great wisdom. We'd be people who are not constantly making up for mistakes. These discerning people. David said it this way in Psalm 119:37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy ways. That's real discernment. To want to walk in a way that God has given us instructions in this book. And that same God that loved us so much placed the Holy Spirit, the author of the book, in our heart to walk daily with us as born-again Christians. But you know, you have to be learned in the book. The wisdom of the learned people. B, in deciding, in making decisions, you need this wisdom from learning the book and understanding the book. 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. He challenged them. He said, look, some things are wrong. Some things are right. Choose one of these things and go in that direction. Why is he saying that? Because so many people try to walk in the middle. So many people try to be Christians and claim to know the book and yet move closer to the world, to get along, to be part of it. What would happen if we got serious about making decisions for God instead of for ourselves? It'd make a great deal of difference, young people. By nature, we're selfish. By nature, we like to do things our way. But if you are learned in the book, you'll be a good decision maker. And where will you be 20 years from now, 25 years from now, 30 years from now, if the Lord tarries in coming after us? Where will you be? I'll tell you where you'll be. You'll be where your decisions take you. God has made you a person of free will. Over 800 times in the scripture, the will of man is mentioned. And the decisions you make carry you through life. And you'll be where those decisions take you, whether good or whether bad. And you really need to know that to walk with God is the ability to make decisions God's way and not our way. It is so easy for us to determine what we want. So easy for us to determine what we'd rather have. But that's not how you make a decision. You make a decision on the basis of what God wants. Not what you think is good for you, but what God knows is good for you. And then declaring, Joshua 24:15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The greatest thing that could happen to you today or during your education in this institution is for you to decide, no matter what happens, no matter where it carries you, no matter how much it hurts, you will serve the Lord. And an interesting thing, if you serve the Lord sincerely, then chances are your children are going to follow you. Now, Satan is after the children of Christians, and it's pretty easy for him to trip them up. But young people, you have to declare where you stand. That declaration of bravery. You have to declare where you stand in alcohol, in music, in entertainment. You have to make a declaration. It's not hard for you to know what you want. And it's not hard for you to know what God wants. It's just hard for you to make the decision which way to go. And here in verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Let me slip back to verse 5 just a minute. I overlooked something that's real important. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. This is very interesting. The word counsel here basically means the purpose for a man's life. You were born with a specific purpose in the eyes of God. You were equipped to fulfill that purpose. With the talents and abilities within your life, there's not one person in this auditorium this morning that does not have the ability to fulfill God's calling for your life. But you need someone of understanding. You need someone to guide you. You have to listen to older people, or you have to listen to wiser people. Most of all, you have to listen to God. So finding what you're supposed to do in life is one of the most satisfying things that can happen to you in life. But find somebody who's made the right decisions. Find somebody who's had the right priorities. We have a tendency of listening to the wrong people. Verse 6 again, most men will proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? That to me is very interesting. What is a faithful man? He's a man of faith. He's a man who has understanding. He's a man that is not proud. The scripture says every man will proclaim his own goodness. This could just as well say his own loyalty. I'm the most loyal person you've ever seen. But loyal to what? Loyal to whom? loyal to God's calling, or loyal to your own directions in life. These are the words of the lofty people. They're proud. And the scripture says, pride goeth before fall, and a haughty spirit. This is teaching us that one of the most dangerous things in life is pride. He will proclaim his own goodness, his own ability. It's easy for us to see our abilities, but it's easy for us to misconceive our abilities. Pride is the biggest factor that gets in the way. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Piety, kindness, beauty, good deeds, loyalty, that's all goodness in the book. That's goodness by God. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 13, there's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes. Their eyelids are lifted up. Psalm 73:9, they set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. What about this thing of pride, the lofty people? Well, pride deafens people to truth. They will not listen to the word of God. They don't want to hear it because they think they know. Nehemiah 9:16. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks, but they hearken not to the commandments of the Lord. Do you follow the book? Do you follow what God says to you? Proud people are easily deceived people. Galatians 6:3. If a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. You can fool yourself. And they're presumptuous people. 2 Peter 2:10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise government. Presumptuous are they. They're self-willed, and they're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Are you afraid to speak evil of men that serve God, of people who try to walk with God? This thing of pride is so destructive. There's an old proverb that says, he that knoweth not and knoweth not that he knoweth not is a fool, avoiding. But he that knoweth not and knoweth that he knoweth not is a wise man. Walk with him. There's much we don't know. We're limited as human beings. But a wise man knows there are things he can't answer. I see theological problems in systems of theology today when people are trying to answer unanswerable questions. But here's the primary question in verse 6. But a faithful man, who can find? Giving the idea that it's hard to find a man who's faithfully walking with God. The word faithful means spiritually prosperous. Blessed are they. Spiritually prosperous are faithful people. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man shall abound with blessing. If you're faithful to the book, if you're faithful to God, if you're faithful to the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, then you are spiritually prosperous. That's a promise in the Bible. It's a promise you can claim. Faithful men are preserved. Psalm 31:23. The Lord preserveth the faithful. In other words, he protects you. He goes before you and gives you answers out of his word and through his spirit. Faithful men are rewarded for their faithfulness to God. 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul said, as I walked with God, I've been a faithful man. And there's many rewards for being faithful to God. How many of those rewards do you have coming? By being faithful to the direction of God. Faithful men are rewarded. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. They're rewards for those that are faithful. Well, the last thing I'd like for you to see, the walk of the Lord's people. The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. That's verse 7. The walk of the Lord's people. Integrity It's a very fascinating word in the original language. It means to adhere to a strict code of values. Young people, you are in the process of choosing your code of values. And God says they should be strict. Integrity also comes from a word that was coined by gymnologists years ago. It means to take a magnifying glass and to closely look at a gemstone and determine its value by how many flaws you find in it. And integrity means to find a gemstone with few or no flaws. You say, well, does that mean there's a man that won't sin? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means when a man does fail, there's a God that forgives that failure and counts it not against him and remembers it no more. The ability to adhere to a strict code of values. He's firm. What is firm? Firm is halfway between hard and soft. You see Christians all the time that are too hard in the way they apply Scripture. You see other Christians that are too soft. But integrity is right in the middle, halfway between hard and soft. Soundness. Not glaring flaws. No glaring flaws in your life because God has revealed them through His Word and through His Spirit, and you have rejected them. Uprightness. Psalm 15:2. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart. Uprightness means sincerity. Everything you do, you ought to do out of sincerity. I sincerely am walking the way I think God wants me to walk. You wouldn't be making some of the decisions you're making today, young people, if you were sincere about the long-term outcome of your life. And last in this sincerity, it's a heritage. His children are spiritually prosperous. You think, well, I'm not even married. But chances are you will be someday. And chances are God's going to bless that union with children. And you want those children to walk after the Lord. Well, you have to set the example for them. You have to walk before them. Because I can tell you that one of the primary targets of Satan are the children of Christian people. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this book of Proverbs, for these very simple truths that tell us about the character traits of individuals and teach us the way we should walk. I pray that these young people would go and therefore walk in your way. In Jesus' name, amen.